paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone and welcome back to this week's minisode. Now, this week's minisode is going to be slightly different. You see, we've received three submissions from one of our new Patreons, and we're doing them in a bit of a slightly turnaround way. But what you're going to hear today is their first email of the three. The second email was released to our Patreons yesterday in our episode of Dark Bites, and the third will be in next week's Dark Bites. So, I know I've mentioned a lot that throughout June we're going to have this free week period of Patreon, so now would be the perfect time to sign up to that Patreon on that free trial so that you can hear episodes 2, or should I say, Experience 2 and Experience 3. For our Patreons, this is the start of the episode, although you've already heard the middle part. I know that's kind of confusing, but it all works out, and these stories or experiences are also rather standalone, although there are some occasional references to the other parts of the email, if that makes any sense, and hopefully it does. So firstly, a huge thank you to everyone who's took part in the free trial. It is going to end the end of June. That's not hyperbole. That's going to take place. So now is the time to do it. It's a celebratory act of our 20th anniversary, and that's why we're doing it. So if you wish to take part in that free trial, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And also, of course, in the show notes, as always, there's also a link where you can click to submit your experience for the show. And remember, because we have so many different formats, it doesn't matter the length of your experience. Every single experience to do with the paranormal, hopefully the dark paranormal, as in the darker side of the paranormal, because that is what fuels this entire show. So please, if you've been mulling over sending in your experience, take this as a sign to sit down, write your experience out, and send it to us, either via our website or via the link in the show notes. And with all that said, let's move on to today's minisode, which comes to us from our new Patreon, your trusty reviewer. And they write, "Hello. I will keep my name anonymous here. However, I'm a new Patreon, and you can use my username if that helps. I'll just go by your trusty reviewer. I will likely write more than I need to, so if you need to shorten, please do. I will say that I'm an experienced paranormal occultist with my own experiences from as early as before kindergarten and pre-K school years to my adult years. I'm now in my early 30s. I will try to keep these events relevant to one another so they can tie in to the experiences and feel connected, at least for your show. Some of my first dreams I can recall, although I've always remembered all of my dreams, there are a few stand out as being especially occult, such as hooded cloaks at night, with torch-lit stone beds for a sacrifice. Myself being the one on the sacrificial stone bed, in that torch-lit area. And then a lot of experiences awake, which occurred in my later life. Events that a great many can attest that they also witnessed with myself present. As for now, I'd like to write to you from the US and say I was born and raised there. Though I've lived in multiple states and even on the island of Hawaii. I attended school and graduated high school in the New England state of Massachusetts, where our local history was taught in school. And as some may know, that includes the Salem witch trials. My teacher actually taught the class a lesson whilst using me as their example of someone who likely may have been mistaken as a witch back then. Of course, during the witch trials, this was before psychiatry became a known practice. and one with neurodivergence may have been seen as a witch. You see, I had a neurodivergent brain abnormality diagnosed the week I was born, aka an apparent abnormality. A natural brilliance of sorts, and one who may never fit in with normal people. Back to the teacher, it wasn't necessarily for nothing that she used me as an example. She was insisting that the class knew that back then in the witch trials, it was many people who suffered wrongfully being accused as witches merely by a lack of psychological knowledge and a lack of shared intelligence. So although it may have appeared cruel, it was actually to celebrate that in modern times, I'm not viewed, nor likely to be viewed or killed, for such a natural condition as neurodivergence. In fact, I took many positives from it. It was comfortable to me. It felt comfortable with being different from others, not being normal, etc. As well as teaching me to be aware of religious persecution and outdated biases against those who may walk a less travelled path in life. To be encouraged, if you will, to pursue, if I so choose, to be the wickedest witch I could be. In this part of town, the word wicked is actually a sort of positive phrasing, not to be interpreted as pejorative, bad or evil. So I eventually did as my teacher at school had encouraged. And with all of that said, I will now say I'm a fully practiced, experienced occultist, with a whole world of experiences worth sharing, and more than a few witnesses that I made believers of. However, there are a few collections of experiences that stand out more to fit here on your podcast. I'd lived at a house that wasn't centuries old, not very different from a standard modern house. This was during middle school, a total of 3 floors. Except that 3rd floor did have a lot of doors upstairs. I shared this top floor room with 1 sibling and 1 step-sibling. There were 3 bedrooms in total, with not only their own doors to separate each room, but 2 stairwells on both sides of the floor to exit from either bedroom, as well as a middle room between those rooms with its own 3 closets and a bathroom door. In total, 8 doors. As you may have already guessed, one day all of those doors were found open, with nobody in the house taking any responsibility for it being their doing. My eldest sibling freaked out that day, saying it was likely somebody had went through every door looking for something, or maybe a robbery. Eventually, that elder sibling confirmed via online research that a brother and sister had once lived in the house and had passed away upstairs. That is only the beginning of what eventually stood out as a collection of strange experiences up there. First of all was all of these doors found open. Next, strange dreams, one in which I was stabbed in the head through my temple, yet didn't experience my own death in that dream. Then a perfectly lucid dream in a Dalek green forest, being taught how dream time allowed a lot more time in dreams than whilst awake to train your mind, spirit, etc. Anyway, one day I scared my eldest sibling when she and her friend were sneaking through the bedroom to try and go downstairs. This was daytime and I was asleep until they said my name. And from a deep sleep I sat up in bed immediately fully awake. I didn't think anything of it, but in hindsight maybe the dreams were starting to move into reality. After the day with all the doors open, I'd walked into the middle bedroom of my siblings to use their restroom, and they had a shocked look on their face. She told me, with eyes wide open, to go and look inside the longest crawl space in the house. There was no light, except halfway down there was a string bulb you had to pull to activate, so it was totally dark. I had only leaned in to peek when, all the way in the entire back of this whole crawl space within our walls up there, There was a little girl in a white dress whose entire appearance was bright white. It caused me to freeze as tunnel vision made her zoom in closer towards me, whilst all my surroundings felt further away, like they were moving towards her on the opposite side I was leaning in to see. I pulled myself out, I looked at my eldest sibling, and we said nothing. Then, shortly after that, again the eldest sibling in that middle room screamed, freaked out, and went to tell the whole family to come upstairs. This time, a live bat had flown out from that crawl space and landed on her bed, which had all white blankets and made this living bat especially visible. Sadly, instead of a humane response, well, let's just say, with my stepfather taking control, the bat passed away.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next, not far from that house, shortly after, I was invited to a new friend's house, where upon arrival, I was introduced by that friend to their backyard, where tall trees shaded the entire yard. I thought my friend was trying to scare me with what happened next. I was completely calm and didn't believe this at first. After a big dead bat fell from the tree and landed on my shoes, a very large dead bat, I stood still, assuming it's a toy, but my friend asked, "Dude, that's a dead bat. Why aren't you freaking out?" But he explained to me, "No, that's not a toy. How could I even get up that high? Let alone manage to pull it with a string or something to reach." I shrugged this little episode off with a whatever. Eventually, all of my siblings, except myself, had used a Ouija board to confirm a spirit with a name was in our house. I didn't partake in the Ouija board, but eventually, in another house, I would. And I would thereafter have my own board purchased from a professional who handcrafted custom-designed Ouija boards, ones with more protection attached. And my following emails will explain why that was essential. Now that was initially the end of your trusty reviewer's submission, until we received the following. Hello again. I wanted to mention a detail I forgot to mention in my first email, regarding the haunted third floor and sightings of a ghost inside the dark, windowless crawl space throughout half of that floor's walls. I mentioned peeking inside by leaning in, holding onto the wall, as you do, but I wanted to mention the little bright white girl I'd seen in there, because she was also mirroring my position, leaning in as though holding onto the wall's edge opposite myself. I'm aware some siblings may prank one another, may perhaps use a mirror and signs to give appearance of ghosts. It was just the leaning inward that I forgot to mention, that the ghost was mirroring me, except for the clothes, the gender, figure, and everything else detailed about the ghost. It was just my pose it seemed to be mirroring. In any sense, there was no windows nor light in there to reflect. That and the tunnel vision are why I feel certain this was no mere prank nor mirror image. Along with how many of your episodes involved doors being opened with no explanation. That, the flying bat, and all the other things like my lucid dreaming becoming more frequent all seem to point to something, well, different. I also had a precognitive dream I forgot to mention, a dream within a dream, in that home and floor. I dreamt of myself waking up, in bed, smiling, at a sort of sweet cooking scent, confusingly walking downstairs through our stairwell, which had no lights installed. Then I'd go downstairs to open the second floor door, following the scent, There's not much of a fright or paranormal thing about this, but I smelled bacon. And I would walk into the kitchen to be offered a plate as a family breakfast. Then I'd have deja vu and wake up again, confused, smelling that same scent, to go and again confusingly down the stairs to follow the scent. Again I wake up confused after being told that bacon was cooking and being offered again on a plate. Again I wake up exactly as before, this time more confused how to all of this could be happening, like being caught in a time loop. However, this was the final recurrence. I woke all the same, following the scent downstairs, was offered a plate of bacon, except I didn't wake up again. Life just carried on. But I haven't forgot it all since. I appreciate that's not necessarily that paranormal, but it's certainly related to that haunted third floor, and the collection of experiences related together. Lucid dreams, being taught to use the dream reel or dream time as a sort of training, being taught how to control my dreams, to fly around. Lots of odd dreams, i.e. being stabbed through the side of my head and not dying. But believe me, the strangeness intensifies in the following emails. Your trusted reviewer. Well, firstly, I'll say I will shorten your name to YTR, just because I've said it wrong about 19 times and had to re-edit. So, YTR, thank you very much, so much, for the submissions you've provided. And I completely know that they do raise in both fear, anxiety, and absolute jaw-dropping terror in the upcoming emails. There is a wonderful point that you touch on briefly towards the end, and it's something which I've been paying a lot of attention to recently. And it's this idea that a plethora of paranormal experiences in one place, irrelevant if they're all different sentient spirits, the sentient part means they're able to communicate with each other. And almost like something out of a kid's TV program, what if this sentience and the fact that they're spirits in spirit form allows them to almost come together to become stronger, more powerful, and possibly, or as we do know in your future mails, definitely more malevolent. Either way, YTR, thank you so much for being this week's minisode. And don't forget, if you want to catch part 2 and 3 of YTR's submission, you can sign up to our Patreon for a free week's trial, no harm, no foul, by heading to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And so, until we speak next, stay safe, take care, and I'll speak to you soon.